All right. You know who that is? That is Sonny Stitt with Blue Devil Blues. Stitt, of course, is on alto, and he also plays tenor sax on this. Lou Levy is on piano. Leroy Vinegar is on bass. Mel Lewis is on drums. And this was recorded in 1959 for his album Sonny Stitt Blows the Blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Good to have you back again with us all together. That's wonderful. I hope you had at least some restful time over the weekend, and that you took it easy. As easy as possible. I have no choice. I have to take it easy. I'm getting old. So I take it easy and I relish the idea of taking it easy, believe it or not. So let's see what's happening today and what we're going to be talking about today. Well, as you know, there's a lot going on in this world. Much of which is also ricocheting back onto the United States. And it's never, it's amazing. It's just never serene and quiet and, without drama. It's drama 24/7, 365 days. It's just nonstop. All this drama. And we wonder how it is that, without being so aware of it, we are so tense. We are so uptight. We're so driven. And it's because we're operating on a silent clock that has its own time. We just have to hope that we can cope with the pace of the disasters that we have to confront on any given day. Well, we didn't have chance because of the way the holiday broke, but we didn't have a chance to talk about our favorite president. Donald John Trump. And so we'll talk a bit about him today because things are heating up for him, although not necessarily in a good way. Former President Donald J. Trump got the message last Thursday that things are heating up, though not in a good way. A 15-count criminal indictment and subsequent arrest of the Trump Organization's chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, on tax fraud and conspiracy charges and related corporate charges and crimes meant only one thing. And it meant that we shouldn't be too surprised if soon Trump appears on that same list. As a matter of fact, I think it is inevitable that he will appear on a list just like that. So let's discuss today the significance of the charges against Weisselberg and what it portends for Trump. It has to do with charges that Weisselberg, as the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, that's that huge, although very small, it's a very small group that is running it, but it's huge in the sense of the impact it has. In the world of finance and commerce. And we have a situation. It's so weird here. Donald Trump has basically put a whole bunch of people in front of him so that if there's to be any shooting, they'll get shot first. They'll get shot first. They will be the ones to be taken out first. And this is the case here with Weisselberg. He's been a longtime confidant and officer of the corporation. He knows where all the bodies are buried. He has answers to questions that have not yet been asked. And he is fiercely loyal to Trump. The indictment that was unsealed on Thursday last week says that through a very interesting system that Trump developed with Weisselberg, a lot of money was made to disappear that should have been declared and on which taxes should have been paid. As a lot of money. For example, with Weisselberg himself, $1.76 million reportedly was paid to him as part of fringe benefits. I would love to have a job that considered $1.76 million fringe benefits. I've never been that lucky. But this is what is happening at that level. The Trump Corporation is pretty much tightly controlled, very closed, very secretive. And according to the indictment, this has been going on for 15 years. So at least 15 years that they know of. So this is an intentional act. It's better than intentional. It is absolutely a part of the standard order. Trump's children, his sons and his daughter, also a part of that. They get perks. They call them perks. They may be cars. They may be rent-free, luxurious apartments. They may be all kinds of things, but they definitely have been undeclared. They're not considered by them or by Weisselberg as something that is called income. And therefore, since they're not income, there are no taxes to be paid. And therefore, according to the indictments, this constitutes a deliberate attempt to hide the sources of their so-called income. And at this point, they're not sure how much income, apart from the income they actually earned or declared, how much income did the children of Donald Trump, did Weisselberg himself, did any others get over several years, 15 years at least? So this is very significant, a significant development, because this has been, you know, one of the ways in the mob, one of the ways that they deny the government its fair share of taxes is that they shield from the government what is actually income. And so if they don't declare it, the government can't charge them with hiding it if they don't declare it. But there is an effort afoot, and it is being conducted jointly by the state attorney general, Letitia James, and by the Manhattan district attorney, who are talking about putting their heads together and going after the Trump organization to see close up how Trump and his people finessed this plan, which has been going on, as I said, for at least according to them, they found at least a 15-year trail of hiding money. Some people may say, well, so what? I mean, everybody, if they had a choice and they could get away with hiding money, the sources of their money, and then they don't have to pay taxes, that means that they're smart. Well, that is exactly what Trump himself would say. It's a smart thing to do. You show how smart you are. You can outsmart the government. The government doesn't like that, though. It doesn't like that. It didn't like it back in the day when the gang started ruling New York and found nifty little ways to hide their sources of revenue so as not to pay taxes on it. But this is not to be allowed. And we will find in another couple of weeks, as more information becomes available, we will find that this was not just an incidental or accidental thing. This was a scientifically devised plan to shield millions of dollars from the government. And so people would just collect and add it to their so-called, salaries. In the case of Weisselberg, for example, there's a matter of tuition being paid for a private school, or a car, leasing a car, a top-of-the-line Mercedes-Benz. These are the ways that Trump shielded his money from taxes and from the view of the government. At least that's what's alleged. So we'll see how this plays out. But in any event, this has been known or suspected for a very long time. This is not new. Trump fancies himself as, who once, by the way, he used to boast about the fact that he knew the tax code better than anybody. So it doesn't help him right now that he said that and that it was actually published. But we have a question here, and I don't know how it's going to play out except as a straightforward prosecution. The former president of the United States systematically engage in hiding millions of dollars from the government's tax department? And if so, what is the appropriate punishment for such a thing? Like I said, the public sentiment might actually be with Trump, that he was smart enough to do it, that he had this guy Weisselberg basically taking care of that piece of the business, and that it was working quite well. Everybody was getting lots of money on the side. But that little phrase, on the side, is not supposed to be legal. That is called crime. And now the question is, will Mr. Trump now have to pay for these crimes? He and who whoever his co-conspirators were in coming up with this system of hiding millions of dollars from the government so as not to pay taxes on it. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We get started with that today. What is your thinking about this? What should happen here? Although, of course, we see the first effort, which was the production of an indictment. So that's happened, which means that a lot of work has been done. They've gotten evidence, they've gotten pieces of paper, they've gotten corroborative proof. And the assumption is that, well, we just proceed. And we will add more as we go along. The key here is, when do they get to Trump himself? When do they get to him? When are they able to nail Trump personally with orchestrating this method of savings for the company and hiding millions of dollars? And when, what price will Donald Trump pay if he's found guilty of the charges in this indictment? Do you have any ideas? Do you have any thoughts about this? Is this something that concerns you? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Jake from Georgia, you start us off today.
How are you?
Fine, thank you, Jake. How are you?
Okay. So-so. Anyway, this is just curious. You may say it's off the topic, but I've been listening to you for a while, and you always, like, you got Donald Trump syndrome or whatever. Now, he's just a despicable person, but you got people that's already in office that's have bigger threats to progressive ideas that's already in office. You never talk about them. Like Joe Biden.
You're way off topic. So the question was posed relative to the opening of the program. Do you have anything to contribute? Do you have any comments to make? Do you have any opinions to express about that? Now that I'm interested in.
Donald Trump being a crook, basically being a crook, need to go on trial for something. Yeah, that's known. It's no secret that he's a crook, you know.
Well, you don't know that he's a crook, and you shouldn't say that without proof.
He's been a shyster for years. Particular instances is hard to point to. It's just overall. He's a shyster. He's always up to something, and that's Donald Trump. I mean, there's nothing new about that. Okay, what I think should be done, he should be brought up for whatever he's done that's against the rules. He should be held accountable. But so should these other people that are in office, that are really have a more pertinent impact on our daily lives right now, because they already have power, if you want to call it that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing. 888-874-4888. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, you, Trace, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope all is well. I am not hopeful that anything will happen to Donald Trump, because there's only one person who can deliver the goods that will put him behind bars, and that's Alan Weisselberg. And I don't think that Alan Weisselberg will turn on Trump. I think he would go to jail before he would give up the goods. So I am not hopeful. Everything that I have read says that everything that transpires is almost like a pyramid that goes up. And Alan Weisselberg was right underneath Trump. So Alan Weisselberg is the key. I don't care how many other collateral people you have who have information that funnels in, it ultimately funnels in into Alan Weisselberg and from Alan Weisselberg to Trump. And so unless Alan Weisselberg is going to turn on Trump, they don't have the information, even with the documents. I think they need to have some corroboration of the documents that they have, unless I just am not, you know, unless I'm just ignorant of how the process works.
But what if, in fact, Weisselberg just freezes and says, I am too old to risk going to jail and for Donald Trump. I'm just too old for that. I'm not going to go do that.
If that was the position that he was going to take, I believe he would have taken it already, because I believe he has to know that the District Attorney of New York and the Attorney General of the state of New York are serious. I don't think he thinks they're bluffing. At least I wouldn't if I were in his position and at his age. I think he's already made a decision. And I think we've already seen what that decision is.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. 888-874-4888. What is going to happen now that we have two authorities, state attorney general and the New York City prosecutor, both tackling this one question as to what exactly was the nature of this business arrangement that Donald Trump had and his company that they followed that allowed them to hide millions of dollars from the government tax office and keep it. And they knew, they had to have known that that was an illegal thing to do. Donald Trump, as I said, in his younger years, used to boast about how familiar he was, what an expert he was at the state tax system and the federal tax system. So he could hardly say now that he didn't know how to structure an arrangement that shielded all this money. And therefore, he should be next. He should be on that prosecutorial list of people who are going to be called upon to explain, how did you shield all this money? I don't know that Weisselberg is going by himself to take the full brunt of the blame for breaking the law and breaking the law this way. I don't know if he's up to that. But I agree with Patricia. I don't think it would be easy for him to betray, if you will, Donald Trump. I think he will be he would be very beholden to Donald Trump, even when he is suffering or made to suffer, because there's another offer that will come after that, which is, don't you worry. If anything should happen to you and you have to go to jail or anything like that, you can be assured that I will take care of you. I will take care of your family. I will take care of your situation. And, you know, you may do a little time, but you'll come back out and we start all over again. That might be part of the arrangement, but I don't see that that's going to be an easy thing to fix, because on the other hand, Weisselberg is older. He is at an age where people don't need this kind of trouble in their lives. they want to enjoy their grandchildren and they want to take it easy after a while. They want to go on vacations that they never had. And they just want out of it. And after a while, the Trump way of operating could get to you. It will wear you down because it is incomprehensible to most people that somebody could operate at this frequency rate every day, every minute of the day, and still keep going. Trump is unique in this respect, that he outpaces his employees on a lot of things, especially things like this, where money, big money, is concerned. He's very, very on top of it. So he's not going to have this produce any surprises for him. All right, we take a couple more calls at 888-874-4888, and then we move on. 888-874-4888. This, by the way, is an interesting insight into how some very wealthy people acquire and keep their wealth. They utilize systems that they create that are, you know, people may not find them suspicious or anything like that, but they really are against the law. But they operate within those confines and keep money. They hide money. They're not about to pay their fair share of taxes. They're not about to declare to the government how much money they're really making. And they think it's a game. It's fun to outsmart the government. And that's where the problem arises, because the government doesn't like feeling outsmarted. And here's an instance in which it appears Trump has been outsmarting allegedly the government for a long time, and millions of dollars are on the line, and people now have to account for how it is or what function did they perform in this organization to keep pumping money into the organization, to keep hiding it from the government, and to keep benefiting themselves from it. This was their, you know, side gig. They had a side gig. They got paid a regular salary, but it seems as if they also had a well of cash that they could just lower their buckets and draw from. So this has come to an end. It has already resulted in an indictment. And now comes the question of trials and whether people will make deals to talk, as in Weisselberg. Would he make a deal to tell the government everything he knows? Or will he extort even more money from Trump and say, well, I'm not talking, but it's going to cost you? And Trump would probably say, okay. And they just continue doing business as usual, hoping that even if this goes to trial, he will get a sympathetic jury because he's so popular. He's so smart. And the people just love him so much that they would side with him. Well, you know, that's a lot of wishful thinking, but that's the way Trump thinks. Okay, we still have time for at least one more call in the segment. 888-874-4888. We're talking about Donald Trump being a man of great concern these days, having to do with how much money did he successfully hide from the government and getting it back one way or the other. He either pays it back or he serves the equivalent in time. What do you say? Well, I do know, thank you so much. Our engineer just wrote me a note saying that don't forget today is the day after the holiday, so traffic might be a little light today on the phones, but that's okay. I still think that people have something to say. And it's at the half hour mark, so what we'll do is we'll take this break and come back continuing our program right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. It is the day after the big holiday. I don't particularly get excited about the July 4th holiday. If anything, I try to get some sleep. I'm not one of those who will go out and buy picnic stuff and, you know, have a great time buying fireworks and all of that. That's not me, not at all. I wondered if you noticed that there's a lot of vitriol directed at Vice President Kamala Harris these days. A lot of people seem not to like her. And it seems as if it comes across as if there is something of an organized effort to make her quit. Media coverage of Vice President Kamala Harris has been mostly negative so far. They talk about her house, her office, being in complete disarray. Nobody, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The reports always suggest that she is incompetent. She's portrayed as unqualified, an intellectual, lightweight, and generally a drag on her boss, President Joe Biden. And one wonders where this is coming from. Who has such a beef with Kamala Harris? And why are they doing it this way? Why are they going after her like this? But most importantly, why is this vitriol getting worse by the day, not being addressed by Biden himself? This is not the way that I recall any, vice presidential person being treated. And she is a first, if you will. She is a woman of color as vice president. And she, she's just new. She's new to the job. But I don't understand the unrelenting criticisms that she is getting in the press. I don't understand this attitude of, roasting her in public. And more than anything else, I don't understand the disrespect being directed at her and her office, and I don't understand the silence about it, as if she has no defense whatsoever. So I could only come to the conclusion that whoever is part of this effort is agreeing or has agreed that they will keep up the pressure until either she quits of her own accord or that she causes a demand that she quit. But it is very unusual to see this level of vitriol, pointedly taking place, singling her out and being very nasty about her office. Whatever is going on, they're not inclined to say, not as a, you have somebody coming into office for the first time at that level, and there are issues of adjustments and so forth. That's fine. But they basically say, when you read the stories, that she shouldn't be in the position. She shouldn't have the job. She's an embarrassment, in fact, to Joe Biden, and embarrassment to the United States. And they pointed recently to her visit to the border, and a lot was made out of it, that she looked silly. She didn't have anything to say. And she couldn't articulate the United States position very well. And she's this early in the game, she's a waste of time in that position. Do you recall such vitriol directed at a vice president of the United States? Even when people disagree, even when people thought that, yeah, you know, this guy isn't functioning with a full deck. But there was at least a respect for the office and a respect for the person. And the media kept, it held to certain standards, if you will, that it would never sink this low, as if they're basically fulfilling a hit contract. I don't get it, but it's been really bad, in my view, to see the media behave this way, and still nobody says anything about it. Have you noticed it? Has it bothered you? 888-874-4888. Is this the way that a vice president of the United States of America gets treated? By just people in the media. I watched, the first sign I got of it was when Lester Holt, who is a journalist, interviewed her. She basically afforded him a one-on-one interview in her office. And he continued to press the point of whether she was going, you know, to the border. And she seemed a little bit flabbergasted, a little bit taken aback by his aggression. And he didn't let up. He made it clear that he thought she was stupid and ineffectual. And I said to myself, surely I'm not the only one watching this program. Certainly his bosses are. Certainly other people in the media are. This is not the way you talk to a vice president of the United States, no matter what you're thinking. No matter what you're thinking, you do not conduct yourself this way, and you do not subject or attempt to subject the vice president to these kinds of, you know, this ridicule. It bothered me a lot, and I've seen it since then as well. Even in so-called analysis, they make it appear that she has absolutely no clue what she's doing, and she doesn't have the kind of help she needs in her office, and there shouldn't be any high hopes for Kamala Harris and what she can do for her country. Have you noticed this? 888-874-4888. I don't imagine, and I remember that there are people in the media who have great differences with people in office, but they've never stooped to this level. And they've never been able to get away with it. Tommy from Staten Island, what are you thinking?
Oh, good afternoon, Utrecht.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm not as flabbergasted and surprised as you are, because this doesn't seem to be anything new. As you may recall, Obama wasn't treated with much respect when he was president. The young lady, I forget her name now, who was married to one of the royals in England, was treated the same way.
Markle?
Yes, the woman of color there. So this is, and throughout the human, throughout American history, this has always been the case. When a person of color gets into any position of prominence, they're held to a completely different standard. And the fact that Lester Holt, I believe his name, was doing the interviewing,
yes.
He's the face to say, well, if he can do it, right, then it's okay. Let me back up. What I'm trying to say is that Lester Holt gets paid by the face that doesn't look like Kamala Harris, right? He gets paid by, I would imagine, white folks. Let's just put it plainly like that. So, you know, if you can have a face of a black person criticizing a black person, it seems like, well, you know, there's no prejudice there. But he's doing the bidding of someone else. That's what I'm trying to say.
I agree. I tend to agree that he is doing somebody's bidding. But the question still comes, should that be allowed? What he is doing is disrespectful and unprofessional.
I agree with you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally disrespectful. Totally wrong. You know, you get no arguments from me about that. But it's nothing that is surprising. You lie. You remember that statement to the President of the United States? You lie.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Well, this is why I'm saying it continues then that people are encouraged to follow the leader. Lester Holt, for example, I understand you want to ask a question and you insistent that the question you ask be answered. I get that. But he asked her a question, are you going to the border? Well, she says, yes. Basically, eventually, I'll be going to the border. Are you going to the border? Basically, as if he wasn't asking a question. He was challenging her. And the fact is that still, he did not recognize that there's a whole lot of distance between where he is professionally and where she is professionally. She does not have to account to him for where she goes. She is here, she is there and assisting the President of the United States. She's doing what she has to do, whether people agree with it or not. Lester Holt fell in line with the rant of the day that she must go to the border. She must address the issues at the border. And then that becomes the issue. Well, it is not the issue. She is perfectly capable of deciding if she's going to go to the border and if so, when. So as a journalist, you go as far as you can without seeming to suggest that you are her boss, and you can talk to her any way you want. Are you going to the border? When do you go to the border? What is that?
Yep, the only person who had the authority to speak to her like that would have been Joe Biden.
Exactly. And I've never seen Joe Biden speak in such a way, either about her or to her, in a derogatory manner.
Exactly. Absolutely. I agree.
And then you consider Lester Holt is not the sine qua non of journalism. I remember him starting off as a young journalist who didn't know, who couldn't find his butt with both hands. So when he comes off with this attitude, are you going to the border? Are you going to the border? The border was not the issue. She was trying to basically inform him that what she was more concerned about on that trip was trying to get a firsthand view of the contributing factors to mass migration from that part of the world. And he's just not listening. He's going on and on and acting like a bully. And she let him.
Yeah.
And I was nonplussed by that. Thanks, Benji, for your call today. Thank you. Jeremiah from New York, you're on the air. Jeremiah, are you on the air? Okay, Jeremiah is not on the air. One last chance, are you on the air or not? Okay. All righty. So this is what I'm talking about. We needed to see, we should have seen by now, something approximating a defense of the vice president. Not that she's the greatest thing since sliced bread and she's so brilliant and whatever. None of that is important. What is important is she's the vice president of the United States, and she must be respected, plain and simple. But everybody is jumping on this bandwagon. I'm watching this thing carefully, and it's like, let's beat her up. Let's make her look stupid. Let's make her look incompetent. And then, of course, we will push to have her pushed out of office. That's ultimately the goal here, to first diminish her in as many ways as they could possibly do it, and then have her removed, or push to have her removed, to force Biden to remove her. And I think the fact that nobody, including journalists' organizations, has said anything about it, it's intolerable to me that they would see this happening all the time in print, in radio, in television. And I am not myself a big fan, in fact, of if during the time when they were debating as the election neared, I made it clear that her conduct at the national debate was, you know, less than impressive. But at the same time, she is now Vice President of the United States, and she is not to be treated that way, even if you're inclined to, and to make points. You know, you're making points that you're a big, bad journalist. You're not. You're just Lester Holt. And as I said, you're just still trying to find your butt with both hands. So you're not in a position to be critical of anybody that way. And that is not the way you conduct yourself. That's not the way you represent your news organization. You go in there with a certain amount of dignity, and you ask a question, a professionally scripted question, and that's it. But you don't have to come off as if you are her boss and you are basically dictating the terms in which she functions, and you are making up the public's mind for them as to whether she deserves to be there or not. You're out of place. And he should have had quite a trouncing for conducting himself that way. But of course, she's a Black woman. She's an East Indian woman. nobody cares how she's treated. And again, it's not that I'm the president of her fan club, but I'm saying I wouldn't stand for it. It makes every journalist look really bad, and worse than just really bad, but, you know, with a very evil intent. And Lester Holt should have been taken off assignment immediately. He should not be allowed to cover her. And the media organizations need to re-examine their posture, because it is blatant that they have it in for her. They're not going to give her an easy time. And they're going to make her life so miserable that she on her own will elect to resign. That's essentially what I see as the intention here, to force her because she'd be so unhappy, and to create these stories to support the fact that we should not be too distressed if she leaves or if Biden asks her to go. This is really very bad. And I think it ought to be said publicly. And people like Lester Holt and others I've seen and heard in the media talking about the vice president in such a scurrilous way. And for no reason other than they are following an agenda. And the agenda is to make her life a living hell. She can't do anything right. She is completely incompetent. And she just belongs someplace else. That is the view. That's the general view you get from the media about Kamala Harris. It's disgusting, it's repugnant, and so unprofessional. And we ought to say something about it. This is not the way that professionals should behave. This is not the way institutions like the media should behave. We should give them no easy quarry here. Make sure that they toe the line. Well, I have time for one more question. If you call fast enough, you can get in at 888-874-4888. And we were talking about the treatment that appears to be in its organizational stage right now, where people are opting in to join the cabal of journalists, quote unquote, journalists, whose job it is to rain down fire on Kamala Harris's, Vice President Kamala Harris's office and on her. And to build, it seems, something of a groundswell of protest that she happens to occupy that spot. And they're doing a really nasty job on her. And I really strongly object to it. And I think that the people ought to say something. We cannot have people in media or in any other sphere of influence in this country believe that they have the authority to decide who goes and who stays. They're wrong. They're dead wrong. And we should make it known that we do not approve of that kind of behavior. We don't approve, and we want it to end right now. So whether it's the New York Times or CBS or ABC News or whoever it is, get your act together. And in fact, these reporters who behave that way simply should be taken off assignment. They don't deserve to be covering somebody that they apparently loathe and have such disrespect for. They need to be reassigned, you know, covering the local. That probably is not a good thing to say. The local garbage dump and how much garbage it's burning every day. That's a great story for the likes of people like these. Well, we've come to the end of our program today. I want to thank you for calling. As I said before, I hope you had a restful weekend. And then we just pick up. We just pick up the pace starting tomorrow. Well, we said started today, but you get one extra day to take it easy, to get back in form. But tomorrow, be back in form. Thanks so much for listening and contributing today. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.